Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we receive an update on Fast Forward, the Tulsa Regional Transit System Plan. Adopted last year, planning is moving forward on the first major improvement to the system, proposed bus rapid transit for the Peoria-Riverside corridor. Officials envision a sleek bus that more resembles a train than a traditional city bus, but operates on city streets, making stops every half mile every 10 to 15 minutes at fixed stations where riders buy their tickets in advance. The commute is sped up by signals that automatically change to green as the bus approaches. The corridor study is a first step in making our transit system a viable alternative to the automobile rather than the transport of last resort. You can learn more about the planning process at fastforwardplan.org. Late last week, I spoke with two transit planners that are involved in Fast Forward. James Wagner represents NCOG, and Mike McAnally is the project manager. He's a transit planner with Jacobs Engineering Group. I spoke with them about the Peoria Riverside Transit Study. James and Micah, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you. We're pleased to be here.
Well, gentlemen, you guys are working on the Peoria Riverside Transit Study. This is the next phase of Fast Forward. You've got a transit plan, a system plan in place. And I guess the way we're going to look at upgrading our transit systems is maybe one line at a time. Is that the approach, James?
Yeah, that's right. You know, we finished the Fast Forward plan in October of 2011, last year. And essentially, what we had recommended in that plan is three different types of corridors. There was urban corridors, which were sort of like the Peoria corridor that we're studying now. There's commuter corridors, which are like longer corridors.
Broken Arrow to Tulsa, Owosso to Tulsa.
Exactly. Yep. And then you have circulator corridors, and so which is sort of like near downtown, you know, circulating around. And so when we looked at those, we really decided that the best opportunity was Peoria to start with. And so, and the reason for that was when we looked at the number of people that are actually using the current transit system, the way that it is now, we studied the number of people that are actually using that Peoria corridor. So there's lots of different routes that actually intersect with that. But when you add it all up, there's about 4,100 people every day that actually use that corridor in some form or fashion. And that represents about 40% of the entire ridership of the whole system. And so we thought it would be best to start with a corridor that already has strong ridership and really build on that and try to really make that corridor better, because you're really benefiting not only riders that are using the system already, but then also the idea would be to attract people who are not yet using the system, but you sort of create a front door of a system that would be better.
Yeah. And as I understand it, the way a lot of transit planning works these days, if you create one nice system, all of a sudden, when's that going to happen to my bus line? And that creates an impetus to actually grow the system. I was thinking of the gentleman who built the Denver subway system. He built a very short line, served massive minority of the population that could use transit. But everybody saw that line once it was up and running, and they said, when is the subway coming to my neighborhood? And it became an impetus to really build up the system.
Right. And the Peoria corridor, it's interesting, was also selected out of the Planet Tulsa Comprehensive Plan that was adopted back in 2010, and it recommended a big T of urban transit service, and Peoria was kind of the crossbar of the T, so we're following the recommendations out of Planet Tulsa as well.
And, of course, that line goes way up into North Tulsa, like
66th Street North.
66th Street North. Mm-hmm. And it goes all the way down as far as, 121st
Memorial, right?
Now, you basically created different options of going the whole length or a certain length. Has any of this been decided yet?
Some of it has. We're actually working, and this week, actually, to try to kind of narrow that down. And really kind of what we've come up with is basically 66th Street North all the way down to 81st and Lewis, which is currently where the Super Walmart is. And if you look at the ridership pattern, that is a major destination. I mean, there's tons of boardings and alightings there at that Walmart at 81st. And so that would be sort of what we call the minimum operable segment that you'd be able to improve it in that corridor. Now, you know, eventually we'd like to see it go further south, but, you know, that's sort of where it comes into what you just mentioned, where you sort of create it and then you create something that people really, it's almost like you're creating a flagship product and trying to see if people will be able to use that and be able to get to where they need to go.
Now, when people go on the Tulsa Transit and the Fast Forward website over the last few months, you've been able to sort of scenario out what sort of bus system you want. And give us a sense of the options that are out there. And I know that you have like the minimum, the low, the medium, and high cost versions of what you want to do to this line. But give us a sense of some of the amenities and, more importantly, frequency of transit in this area that you're envisioning.
Well, the concept that we're looking at is referred to as bus rapid transit. And really, bus rapid transit sort of has some elements that are key to it. One of them, and one of the most important parts of it, is that it's a branded service. So it's a different type of service in terms of the actual way the bus looks. It's wrapped differently. It has its own brand and logo. And then it also has stops that go with that. And so that's kind of one of the key elements that makes it look different. The vehicles are all low floor boarding, so it tries to mimic somewhat the rail experience if you were like riding something that was rail. And then the other kind of key element is that there's stops. It's what we call a limited stop system, and really what that means is that it's only stopping every half mile or so. And so instead of making stops, you know, right now the transit system operates on what's called the flag stop system. So essentially you can get on and off the bus anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are.
And there are signs at least twice a block,
sure,
basically, or once a block,
right,
in some cases where there's a place to get on.
So what that does is it actually increases or decreases the travel time. So if you're trying to get somewhere, it really is rapid instead of being a local service.
And the other key component is the fact that, like a rail system, you're going to have all your traffic signals keyed to the bus. So when the bus approaches, it turns green, traffic flows. The bus doesn't have to stop unless it has a stop.
Yeah, we call it signal prioritization, that the bus has a device on it that the signal system can sense if the bus is approaching. And so, say a signal's about to turn to red, it would stay green a few seconds longer in order to let the bus clear through the intersection. So they keep moving. That's the rapid transit part of it again.
And then kind of the last element that's really part of that from the user perspective is real-time information about where the bus is. And so although with the frequencies being 10 minutes during the peak hour and 15 minutes all day long, you don't really need a schedule. You can pretty much remember that. But there is technology that would be provided that would put up on the kiosk where the bus stations are, you know, next bus in 5 minutes, and you could
just like a rail line.
Just like a rail line. It's basically trying to mimic what a rail line does, you know, with a bus system that doesn't require all the capital for that.
And from the user side, a lot of different amenities. Now, you mentioned the fact that if stopping every half mile, that's a very different system. Now you would walk to a thoroughfare that has bus service. You could plant yourself right there, wait for the bus to come, wave your arm. Now you may have to walk several blocks. So what is the experience once you arrive at that stop? You're looking at stations, aren't you?
Yeah, these are what we're calling, I mean, we have different levels of stations. So where we have our most high volume of passengers, like at 41st in Peoria and at 81st in Lewis, at 6th in Peoria, we'll have sort of bigger stations that have more space for people to wait, basically. And then there's sort of a middle range.
Protected from the elements.
Protected from the elements, absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then there's a middle range that would be, you know, a smaller thing, but it would be bigger than what you see now as far as a shelter. You'd be able to fit, you know, maybe half a dozen or so people under, you know, to be protected from that. But in addition to that, there's also a local service that runs underneath that. So you have the skip or the limited stop service, but then there's also a local bus running at a lower frequency, but so that if there was somebody who really couldn't walk to the station, they could still get to where they needed to go by just going and using that flag stop system as well.
Mm. The rapid transit is running at 10-minute intervals in the peak periods in the morning and evening, and then 15 minutes all day long, where the local service is 30 minutes or 45 minutes in frequency. But the overall, from a user or rider perspective, we want to make the buses frequent enough that you really don't need a schedule. You can count on getting to the stop, and you may have to wait 10 minutes, but usually less.
No, and that's sort of like a rail experience, too, which is the fact that you don't, when you go into a subway system, you don't look at...
No.
You don't look at a timetable. You know,
when's the next train?
If I watch a bus leave, I know it's going to be about 5 minutes or so, or 10 minutes in this case. Well, as far as the amenities go, you're looking at everything from a ticketing system at the stop, right? So there's no longer waiting for people to come up with change.
Right.
It's like you buy a ticket, a token or whatever, or a pass system where you just go right onto the bus and the bus
really keeps moving pretty much.
In the major stop locations, there would be a automatic ticketing machine in the stop. That's sort of like a automatic teller machine or ATM almost like the downtown parking meters, where you have the option of using a cash or a credit card, and you can purchase a pass, you can purchase a single trip ticket, and by doing that off board, it again speeds up the service. You don't have the lineup of people waiting to put coins or run a pass through the fare box. And you can use the other doors. You don't have to just go to the front door and pay a fare. You can enter and exit off of the mm-hmm. rear door as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, where does all this planning stand at this point? I know that you're looking at probably, what, federal assistance to really mm-hmm. build this up? I know you've applied to the government, right?
Sure. We actually have we've just sent our what's called the initiation package for the study to the Federal Transit Administration. And essentially, what we're looking at doing is applying through a program called Very Small Starts. And essentially, they have some sort of thresholds that you have to meet. That's actually one of the reasons we chose Peoria, is that we wanted to choose a corridor that would meet the thresholds to be able to get through the funding process, because at the federal level, you're competing with cities that have corridors that have 10,000 riders a day, you know, double what we have. And so you have to be able to compete well against those corridors. And so essentially, we'll go through the process, and then once you're through it, Federal Transit Administration can offer up to 80% federal funding. Usually, though, it ends up being more like a 50-50 local versus federal. And but then really the challenge, though, is the operating cost, because the Federal Transit Administration really doesn't have funding for operating. And so
they fund the capital side. Right. Local and other sources have to cover the operating costs.
So we've been working diligently to try to make sure that whatever operating costs there are that are associated with this, that we can reasonably cover that, you know, with the funding that we have now or something very slightly increased.
I know we're still in the planning stage, but I think there is a superstation already being built, right?
There's Mike? A brand new super stop up on Pine at Peoria, right at the Fiesta Mart and the Gateway Market area, that is under construction now. It's going to be a very nice transit stop facility. It's got a large shelter covering the bench seating area. There's electric power, so they have lighting, and in the future they could add the off-board fare collection machines and the electric signage for the next bus arrivals. So it's very much a prototype of the type of stop, enhanced stop, that we are hoping to see throughout the system.
Now, in certain rapid transits, you'll actually see the stop is almost like, you know, the bus pulls off of the road mm-hmm. and then goes back into the road. Is this what you envision, or will it be more of a street sort of experience?
Yeah, in some places we will be able to. In fact, where Mike was just mentioning there on Pine and Peoria, there already are. When they did that street several years ago, they have bus pullouts already now.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some places you would have that. And there's even places, for instance, on Brookside, we've looked at, there's a couple maybe on-street parking spaces that we could maybe use as, you know, pull out those on-street parking spaces and use those as the station. And in some places, there really just isn't right-of-way to do it, so you have to stop in the street. And so it'll be a variable depending on where you are in the corridor.
You were talking about operating costs a moment ago, and as you mentioned, that really has to come up from within the system. And that's really sort of determining sort of the level of amenities. And can you give us a sense of the amenities that sometimes rapid bus transit uses? I mean, everything, you know, the high end would be Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. and I think you actually floated a scenario of a cable closed circuit television mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. But certainly Wi-Fi, I mean, that's something you would expect on a large rail line. But I was wondering if we have commute times that would really benefit.
Yeah,
that.
It's interesting. I've seen Wi-Fi in a lot of different cities and on buses, and typically I think you really only benefit from that if you're really going to be on that vehicle for probably longer than 30 minutes, because at some point there's a trade-off. And it's interesting because now the way cellular technology has developed, a lot of people aren't even interested in Wi-Fi anymore because they've got, you know, their cellular data that they can use. And so in terms of productivity and being able to do that kind of thing, it maybe is less of an issue than it was maybe even 5 years ago. But really the amenities on the actual bus aren't really that different from a bus today. The big difference is it's the front door of the system, meaning the stops and the stations, because when you do research on transit, One of the things that transit riders are most sensitive to is what they call off-vehicle transit time, meaning the time they're waiting at the station. And that is the time that feels like an eternity. And
yes.
But once you're on that bus, you're comfortable, it's air-conditioned, it's protected from the elements. And so there's not as much, when you look at how people behaviorally respond to transit, there's not as much of an issue once you're on the bus because you know you're where you need to be going and you can kind of relax. But it's that time, right now, the way our system is there's a lot of anxiety for people when they're waiting at that stop because the question is, did I miss it? Am I going to be at work on time?
Exactly.
And so the idea is that front door experience, meaning that, the experience at the station, be as high quality as possible.
From my experience, it's been I have to plan a wait to make sure that I don't miss the bus because if I miss the bus, mm-hmm. then I might as well walk home and get my car
right.
because
right.
it's going to be 30 to 45 mm-hmm. minutes.
Right. So the information's key, knowing the next bus in 5 minutes and being able to look on your phone and say, there it is on the map. I got time to get there and that sort of thing is really, really important.
My guests today are James Wagner from NCOG, Mike McAnally from Jacobs Engineering Group, who is the project manager, both of them transit planners, as we talk about the continuing evolution of Fast Forward, the Tulsa Regional Transit System Plan, which the next phase is a transit study and really, at some point, implementation of some changes to the Peoria Riverside route, which is the first chosen. Now, you had some feedback from forums. You had some forums during the summer. Mm-hmm. What did you learn from the people who most likely to use transit?
Yeah, it was interesting. People, we had some really good response to that, and people seem to really get it. They seem to really understand this, and I think Tulsa is very much what I've learned. Of course, I'm from here, but we're a common sense kind of city, and so I think it was a good thing that we proposed bus rapid transit as opposed to something else that would have been higher cost because, sort of the concept that we heard when we presented this was, this makes a lot of sense, and it really doesn't really cost that much in the grand scheme of things compared to some of the more grandiose ideas that we've heard in the past, monorail and light rail and all that sort of thing. And so I think the feedback, that we got was that this is a very common sense approach to increasing the transit service on this corridor.
I'd be interested to know how many people would take transit if the whole system worked on a 10 to 15 minute model, because I think a lot of people who wouldn't consider it would consider it, and as we see price spikes in gasoline, I think you'd see even bigger increases mm-hmm. in ridership.
Absolutely.
So for me, I think the biggest takeaway message from our public meetings, public involvement, was we were asking how far should this system extend to the north and to the south. For example, up in North Tulsa, we were saying we could stop at 48th or we could continue all the way up to 61st. What was the reaction of the people? Well, very strongly, it is try to go to those far north and far south areas that you can't just extend the better service part way. You've got to serve those locations where the ridership exists today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a great time to sort of segue, if we can. Mike, in addition to being the project manager for Fast Forward, you're also you've been working with Oklahoma City in their MAPS program, and actually you're winding that down, and they've chosen a very different model for the most part, and that is streetcars around the city center. Is that right?
A circulator in their central city area that would tie together downtown to the Bricktown Entertainment District, up to the St. Anthony Medical Center, down to the new convention center site and City Park that are other MAPS projects. The difference with Oklahoma City is they started a little sooner. They did a long-range system plan called the Fixed Guideway Study, and that identified back in 2005-2006 time frame what their long-range plan would be. And out of that came this streetcar circulator idea of a modern electric rail streetcar circulating around downtown. The key, again, was how to pay for it with the MAPS 1 cent sales tax rededication, MAPS 3. It included the funding to implement the first phase of the modern streetcar.
Mm. It's interesting that they haven't chose like a citywide approach. I guess they're starting to do planning on that, but I'd never thought of Oklahoma City traffic as a big issue, but the last few times I've been there at rush hour, their traffic is much worse than it is here in Tulsa at this point. I think they should be looking at that.
And same thing is true here in Tulsa and in Oklahoma City. The long-range plan addresses those big-picture, far-sighted needs of how are we going to serve the commuter routes in the future? Could we do commuter rail in the long range? That is still part of the picture.
But in the meantime, you have this Peoria Riverside Transit Study. How far are we from actually starting to see a bus or at least construction at this point of some of these bus stops that you're talking about? Are we still like a couple of years out, 5 years out, four years out?
I think it's realistic to think that we could be finished with this study by probably the second quarter of next year. And at that point, we would have a locally preferred alternative, basically just meaning here's what we want to do. And then we would actually start a formal application process to the Federal Transit Administration to obtain funding. Now, the catch there is that you've got to sort of have your local capital funding and your operating funding lined up before you submit the application, because the Federal Transit Administration operates similar to the way a bank would. So that you go and you say, well, you know, here's our business plan, and we have the resources to be able to keep this thing going, and if you'll invest 50% in it, we'll ensure that it does. And so we really have to work to get that together. And, you know, we think it could be part of the renewal of the third penny that goes before the voters next year. It's possible that we could be part of that in terms of the capital. But again, the operating, we're trying to keep the operating very modest in terms of the amount for that, because we realize that at this point there's not a dedicated funding source for transit here. And we'd like to continue that discussion, but we're not assuming that that will be the case in order to get this implemented. So the answer is it probably, you know, 2 to 3 years, I think.
You know, it's interesting. We've been doing a similar project in El Paso to develop a BRT corridor, and they finished their plan a little over a year ago, and just yesterday they were awarded their federal grant to move ahead with the design and construction in less than a year after finishing the plan. Mm-hmm. So it can be done on a fast-track basis, but as James indicated, the local source of funding to cover the 20% share of the capital costs, 20 or 50%, and then more importantly, the year-to-year annual operating cost of running the improved system.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is not the only route that you're actually looking at this particular time. Mike mentioned the circulator route in Oklahoma City. There's similar plans for a circulator route around the downtown area. Is that right?
That's right.
Where is that?
Well, that hasn't been determined. We're not nearly as far on that. We've actually submitted an application for alternatives analysis funding, which is essentially what's funding this plan, to do that analysis, and the ideas for that range for us. I've heard talk of as little as just up and down Fifth Street connecting the library area to the new hotel, all the way over to the Blue Dome, to as expansive as connecting the University of Tulsa to downtown. So, and kind of everything in between. You know, some ideas to connect the river to downtown, and because of the topography, you know, talking about people trying to connect from the river to downtown, it's quite a bit of a hike to get from the river up to downtown because there's a hill.
Yes.
And so there's been talk about that. There's been talk about just connecting
maybe core. We just need a big escalator.
Right. But there's been talk about connecting the core of downtown to the Brady District, because you have the railroad separating that. You have the new Boulder Bridge.
So there's a whole lot of different
options.
Ideas in the mix.
Sure.
So what's the timeline for actually sort of nailing some of these things down and figuring out where you want to expand transit? Because as you mentioned, all of these ideas are really good ideas. You know, here at the university, they're going to have a major presence in downtown pretty soon. They already have an art center, and they're going to have the community medicine center there within a year or so.
Right.
You're looking at, the Brady District seems to be burgeoning, but if you work on the far side of downtown, that is a bit of a schlep.
Yep.
to go
it
to
is.
Lunch there and come back.
Yeah, I think that's really why. I mean, in some ways, this Peoria study is a lot simpler than that is, because there's a lot of different alternatives for that downtown study. The Chamber has hired a consultant to kind of help look at some downtown, and we're going to be meeting with them in the next couple of weeks and maybe starting to have that discussion. But then you get into some other complicated things with downtown circulators, like do you use different vehicles? You know, most cities do. Most cities use smaller vehicles.
What type of vehicle?
Electric-powered vehicles, things that don't create so much noise when they're running. Mm-hmm. And then is there a fare? A lot of cities have a fare-free zone downtown where essentially you just get on and get off, and it's paid. You know, there's no cost. And so, you know, that helps obviously with – one of the things that we've heard from the hotel community is that we don't have a cluster of hotels that are close enough together in the downtown area to really support a major convention. So because of that, you know, you have the DoubleTree and you have the Hyatt and you've got the Holiday Inn, but they're all kind of, you know, several blocks away.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, we've heard that when they try to pitch big conventions for Tulsa, one of the drawbacks that they have is that there's not very good ways to get back and forth between hotels if it's a really large convention that requires more meeting space than one hotel can accommodate. So,
yeah. Well, I know your website, there's lots of good information about the whole Peoria Riverside corridor. I know there's been a scenario game where you can sort of build your own transit. Mm-hmm. Is that still up?
It is. Yeah, we did that in the public meetings.
And basically, you take the cost of building and operating it and knock it down to $30, and each segment costs us so mm-hmm. much. And it was really a lot of a fun experience. It was sort of mind-numbing because I couldn't get down to $30, but it was a great experience. I guess it gives consumers a sense of the decisions you folks are looking at right now.
NCOG's done a really good job of reaching out to the community through the plan and now in the alternatives analysis. They actually received a National Planning Award from the American Planning Association for the public outreach during the Fast Forward plan, which is a pretty distinctive nationwide recognition.
So when they go on the site, what are some of the things they can see about where the plans are and the options that are available?
What we've done is, you mentioned, we call it the menu exercise, and essentially it's designed to be like if you're going to go out to dinner and you only have $30 to spend and you have to choose different options in terms of, you almost kind of set it up like an appetizer and a main course and you have to choose two and that kind of thing. And so that's kind of the biggest thing that's from a really public involvement perspective that people can kind of do quickly and kind of get their minds around what we're dealing with. But then there's a lot of other detailed documents too. I mean, we've got the entire system plan that we adopted last year, and then there's sort of some fact sheets about this corridor. And I would say most importantly, there's the website is fastforwardplan.org/Peoria. And then that's where we kind of keep all the information in terms of upcoming public meetings and things like that as well.
Of course, I would assume the biggest, when we talk about transit, it's that wait time between buses. And I know Tulsa Transit's been trying to up the frequency a little bit, but it's really going to take more money in the long run, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think the thing, you know, to remember about this is, you know, this corridor serves, and you look at the city of Tulsa population, it serves 1 in 7 people in the city of Tulsa live within a half mile of this corridor. 1 in 5 jobs are within a half mile of this corridor. So you've got a lot of opportunity for that. And so I think, you know, creating, sort of focusing on this flagship corridor, if you will create something that people can really say, that really could be an option for me. And I think, you know, to me, that's an approach that, and not just to me, but to other cities, the way they've approached this is, rather than sort of spreading everything out so thin that you can't really see a difference in the frequency, to focus on a corridor that that really can be successful is a good strategy for the long term, because it really, what will happen and what's happened in a lot of other places is that people will see that, they'll say, wow, that's really, you know, something that we can support. And then it sort of grows from there. And so we think that that's the, you know, that that's the way that we should go in terms of this corridor, and then, you know, expanding that to others as well.
All right. Well, gentlemen, we wish you great success with the plans. James and Mike, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
James Wagner of NCOG and Mike McAnally, the project manager for Fast Forward, discussing the Peoria Riverside Transit Study, which is currently underway. For more information about where the transit system stands, visit fastforwardplan.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.